Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3. And as you see the reading in your bulletin or on the screen this morning, you'll note that there are parts for women and girls to read together and parts for men and boys to read. I'll be leading the women and girls, and Ed Daniel will lead the men and boys. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths.
Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all you produce.
Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine.
May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. And our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 34 through 44. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before all the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. What were they thinking? The disciples had five loaves and two fish, barely enough for themselves, much less this crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children. There would never be enough, never. Common sense told them to keep what they had for themselves. But whether it was by faith or foolishness, the disciples give it all to Jesus. And when they place this simple gift into his hands, that little bit becomes more than enough. The story is the only miracle, other than the resurrection, that appears in all four Gospels. That repetition should make our ears perk up. Something important is happening here. A story about giving that each and every evangelist wants to make sure that we know. By this point in the Gospel, the disciples have come to know Jesus well. They have spent time with him. They have learned from him. They have seen him do amazing things. And yet, when he asks the disciples to give him what they have, they hesitate. They protest. "It's not enough, Jesus. This little bit will never be enough. We don't have enough." But Jesus says, "What do you have? Go and see." When they report to him five loaves, two fish, Jesus responds, "Have the people sit down on the green grass." While the disciples may not have known what was going to happen, they did know Jesus. And because they know him, they are able to move beyond their initial doubt and resistance and place their gift into his hands. In the disciples' hands, that bread and fish were barely enough for the 12 of them. But in the hands of Jesus, It is transformed into more than enough for this crowd and everyone. Their giving in this way shows their faith in Jesus. And while faith is a central part of all our lives as Christians and followers of the Lord, faith might not be the first word we associate with giving. In fact, a nationwide study of why Christians in four different denominations give found that 44% of Presbyterians say they give to the church in order to pay the bills. 89% say they give out of responsibility or obligation. 28% say they give to meet the needs of others or for mission. And a mere 6% say they are giving to God or giving because they love God. Now, I don't think that any of you participated in that survey, but it does reveal widespread ways of thinking about giving across our denomination. Words like guilt and obligation don't inspire passionate giving. They weigh us down. And in stark contrast to that kind of language, the Bible speaks about giving in terms of gratitude, faith, and love. This is the image in Proverbs 3, with its teaching about honoring the Lord with the first fruits of what we produce. For the ancient Israelites, giving those first fruits meant offering to God the first portion of the harvest, symbolic of the very best and everything they had so far. This practice was a way to remember year after year that God had provided for them faithfully in the past, leading them out of slavery, feeding them in the wilderness, and bringing them into this promised land of abundance. In gratitude and in faith, they were called to give. This first fruits giving was also a way for the Israelites to prioritize giving in their lives. Here at Parenton, we follow this example of offering first fruits by asking our members and friends of the church to make a pledge of giving for the coming year. For this year, 2019, a year ago, 142 individuals and families made a pledge to the ministries of this church. And for this, we are giving God thanks today. Pledging to the church as we do every harvest season is an opportunity to joyfully and courageously act on our faith and place our gifts into the hands of Jesus. The act of making a pledge helps us to be intentional about what we give. It leads us to consider how God has blessed us this year and reflect on what we want to offer back to Him. Such faith-filled giving sets a powerful example for the next generation. Tom Lake, who is the former head of Eli Lilly and Company and a man of incredible personal generosity, talks about how he and his wife Marjorie both learned from an early age about the value of giving. They grew up during the Depression in a small coal mining town in western Pennsylvania. Both of their families were active in their church, which served as a hub of community support for many people in need. Like most men in the town, Tom's father was a miner, and like most families, his struggled to get by. And yet every other week, when his father brought home his pay envelope from the mine, he watched his mother carefully count out a percentage of the paycheck and place it in a little cupboard, in a teacup, in the cupboard, as an offering for their church. I don't know how much she put in there, Lake said years later, but that's the first thing she did. She would interrupt cooking dinner in order to do that. It always impressed me. She wanted to give before other demands were placed on the funds. And so whatever the family's situation, in good and bad times, Mr. and Mrs. Lake would first of all set aside money to help others in greater need than themselves. In contrast to the financial hardship of Tom's family, his wife Marjorie was the daughter of the town physician. Her family was one of the wealthiest in town, and like the Lake family, they too were strong supporters of their church. Speaking of his father-in-law, Tom said, "There was not a big to-do about his giving. There were all kinds of things done quietly. I guess that maybe back then I learned that you didn't give for show. You gave to help people." Although Tom's family was one of the poorest in town and Marjorie's was one of the wealthiest, both families shared with their children the financial and faith-filled values of being generous and faithful stewards of what they had received from God. Tom and Marjorie's parents modeled for them in a powerful way what it means to give in faith. And it's a lesson that Tom and Marjorie never forgot. When Tom became president of Eli Lilly and Company and chairman of the board of the Lilly Foundation, he led the way in dedicating great portions of the company's profits and his own personal assets to serving the church, the community, and the world. Today, the Lilly Endowment is the major funder of scholarships and grants for those preparing for ministry. And like many pastors, this story touches me personally because I too am a recipient of grants and scholarships from the Lilly Endowment during my own preparation for ministry. Along with Tom's work of developing this Lilly Endowment, he and Marjorie were longtime members of Second Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, where they were committed to living out the values they had learned as children. Tom wrote, "The more one thinks about giving, the more generous one will become, and the more personally satisfying and meaningful giving will be." Tom learned generosity by watching his mother and her teacup. Marjorie learned it from watching her father, and what they witnessed as children shaped the purpose of their lives. Lake writes, "Generosity doesn't come down through the genes. Generosity, sharing, and values have to be taught. We learn such faith-based giving in our families and here at church. And when we as parents set and give to the Lord, we are setting a powerful example for our children, showing them our faith and helping to nurture them as they grow into generous givers. Like the disciples who trusted Jesus with what they had, like the Israelites who offered their first fruits of the harvest to the Lord, like the families of Tom and Marjorie Lake, when we place our gifts into the hands of our Lord, what we offer becomes more than enough. For in the hands of Jesus, miracles occur, and whatever we give to him multiplies in blessing, nourishing, strengthening, and inspiring more people than we can ever know. So if our own budget feels tight and we're not sure there's enough to give, or if we're thinking about making a pledge for the first time or for the first time in a while, Jesus invites us to put our faith in him and give what we have into his miracle-making hands. For as we give in faith, a miracle occurs in our own souls, and we find ourselves becoming more generous, loving, and joyful people. So this year, I hope you won't pledge to meet the budget. I hope you won't pledge because you feel obliged to do so or guilty if you don't. I pray that you will make a pledge as an act of faith, as an offering of what you have into the hands of our Lord, watching for miracles in our church, in our world, and in your own heart. For in the hands of Jesus, our loaves, our fish, our gifts multiply in abundance. Thanks be to God. Amen.